Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time with Bob, Dave, and Moore. If you guys have questions for John, you can text him in right now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
So, Le'Veon Bell has found a home already with the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you think of that move?
I mean, I shake my head. It's like... I wish I could get into, well, maybe I shouldn't. I don't want to get into the head of Le'Veon Bell because he might end up being perhaps the worst business person we've seen as a negotiator because, I mean, okay, so fine. He goes there and he has a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Wonderful. But what's he going to do? You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the best back coming out of college this year in a fit with Kansas City. He's going to be the one that's going to be out there. So all you're basically doing if you're Le'Veon Bell is kind of like he did the year he sat out and didn't play football, losing $14.55 million. Just sit there and not do anything because he'll get on the field. He can help out. If they need him in a pinch in an emergency, they can. But Clyde Helaire is sensational. And so I just shake your head. It's like the talk here would be, okay, will Earl Thomas come back to Seattle? It's like, no, he doesn't want to come back to be a backup. But here's Le'Veon Bell, you know, coming over and accepting he's going to be a backup. I don't get it, you know, because he's going to make the whole $8.5 million base guarantee that that was negotiated for him. And so he's going to be paid and paid well. So I'm sure what he did is that he got the minimum salary. We don't know the contract yet, but that would be my guess. He got the minimum salary. And so now where does that go with him? It's like you go to the Chiefs and you're not going to play.
Well, and the one thing I read, John, and you can tell me if this is accurate or not, because I haven't watched a bunch of Chiefs football, is that while Helaire has been great, he's had trouble at the goal line, apparently getting stuffed, and maybe they bring Le'Veon Bell in for goal line situations?
Could be, yeah. I mean – you know, again, Le'Veon's still a talented back. He doesn't look as good as he did, say, 3 years ago or 4 years ago or whatever. I mean, he is 28. You know, he did have the hamstring injury and everything else. And so, you know, that might be the option to do it. But again, it's like how much more work is that going to get him than Marshawn Lynch got last year when he came out of retirement to help this team in goal line and short yarded situations?
John, I know he's a bad businessman, but what about a teammate? I'm trying to refresh my memory. Yeah. Do we lump him in with Antonio Brown, or is he...
Not as bad as Antonio Brown, because you know, his mistakes are self-inflicted, where Antonio has done damage to other people.
Yeah, you know, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and you know, because you can say, okay, he's been, I think, what, suspended one or two times for, you know, driving around with marijuana in his car. I know one time he did because he got caught and he had to serve a little bit of a suspension there. But that's a self-inflicted wound. That's not causing damage to anybody else. And so I wouldn't put him in the category of Antonio Brown like that. But again, as a business person, and again, here's a guy that he comes back and, you know, he loses $14.5 million. He negotiates a deal with a team that's bad and doesn't really want him. I know the general manager didn't want him, but then they didn't want the general manager, so they let him go. He has 3.2 yards a carry because the offensive line didn't do a good job, and it's a bad football team. And so I thought his better shot would be to go to Buffalo because he could help Buffalo get to the Super Bowl. I mean, that could be a great fit. And why he would pick Miami as a third candidate over, say, Chicago, where Chicago could really use him and be, you know, they might even give him a contract extension. But I just shake my head because from the business aspect, what he does doesn't make any sense. But right now, he's made enough sense to at least get through the season at $8.5 million.
Mike Tomlin's a saint.
Oh, yeah.
Putting up with him and Antonio Brown at the same time.
Mm-hmm,
and then,
mm-hmm.
I guess, Roethlisberger was a bit of a clown early on. He's
big
since,
time, yeah.
Since repaired, so yeah.
Love Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean you can see that you know, he, even though sometimes he gets criticized, well, the last couple of years he's been criticized, but players like playing for him, they respect him, and he knows how to not only deal with problems but hide problems.
Well, John, speaking of Mike Tomlin, his team faces the Browns this week. They're favored by 3. The Myles Garrett first game since that incident last year. How do you see that whole thing playing out?
I think it could be very tense because, you know, these two teams don't like each other. The Garrett thing is bringing out even more anger. And the only thing that's going to be preventing some fights is the fact it's going to be so heavily officiated that, you know, the slight inference of something happening is probably going to get ejections going like crazy. So I'm sure both coaches, and of course, you know, Kevin Stefanski, you know, he's not into the rivalry. Mike Tomlin is, but Mike Tomlin's going to try to calm everybody down. You know, I think Kevin can be a pretty positive influence, but again, you know, it's going to be very negative. The game's in Pittsburgh. The game, you know, if there's going to be a few fans there, they're going to be booing like crazy. And you know that there's not going to be anything that Myles Garrett does that irritates a Steeler player is going to have ramifications.
John, I was asking Dave before the show, are there unwritten rules in football? And he said, well, no. Why are you asking? And I was talking about this story here. The Ravens defensive coordinator, Don Wink Martindale, was upset that the Bengals decided to kick a late field goal to avoid a shutout, so they lost 27-3. And he was asked, for his reaction to the whole thing. Martindale said, quote, "He knew what it was because it was awfully quiet when I yelled across the field." He says, "We'll see. We'll have plenty to talk about the next time we play them."
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is he talking about? What does he care if they kick a field goal? He wanted the shutout.
Well, now, then stop. That's lame kicking a field goal at the end of the game.
No, it's not. No,
Yes, it is. When you're down 27-0 with 37 seconds to go, what's the point of kicking a field goal?
Maybe you get your kicker some work. You build up his confidence. What do you care? What do you care if they kick a field goal? You still wax them 27-3.
That's stupid when a team does that.
Then stop them. Get them out of field goal range.
They did stop them. That's why they brought the kicker out. Sorry, John. I'm interrupting your segment here.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking it's like, maybe it affected the over-under. I don't know if the over-under was like 29.
No, I wasn't thinking in those terms.
I think it's lame that he got mad. If you're in charge of the defense, then keep him out of field goal range. What do you care? Your objective is to win the game. They kick a field goal. I don't know why. They want to work on something. They don't want to suffer the indignity of a shutout. Whatever. Who cares?
Well, I don't mind that he's mad. I mind that we all heard about it. Because what he should do is next time they play the Cincinnati Bengals, say, these punks, you know, and use it as motivation. Don't air it out in the media. But, I mean, if I'm an offensive coordinator at the end of the game and it's that situation, I'm trying to huck it into the end zone.
Yeah.
But anyway, to come out in the media and everything and say it.
We like it because again we get to find out where the real feelings are.
And now we're talking about it, and we have something to talk about.
But that goes to the point you're talking about. How's that going to be with Myles Garrett going back to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers? Okay, this is the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens in the same division. That's this division. There's a lot of hatred. I mean, you saw when San Francisco was at its prime with Jim Harbaugh, you know, how nasty it could have been and was with San Francisco going against Seattle. Well, guess what? It's kind of worse in the AFC North, and you can see that the Bengals aren't very good right now, but with Joe Burrow, they'll eventually be pretty good. And to have Wink Martindale yelling across the field saying, "I'm going to get you the next time."
Lame.
It's maybe lame, but again, that's the way the division is.
If the goal is to avoid the shutout, then what do they care if it's a field goal or a touchdown? Would you still been mad if they would have chucked it in the end zone, scored a touchdown?
No.
Why?
Because
game's over.
Yeah, but at least they tried to score a point and tried not to avoid a touchdown. But again, you're trying to come back, even though you know you're not going to be able to do it. It's not like they're going to take a knee when you're down 27-0 with 37 seconds left.
Right. So the touchdown would matter as much as a field goal in that situation. It's just avoiding the shutout.
Yeah, you know, he would have turned around and started yelling at the cornerback who just got beat.
And that I could live with. That would make sense as a defensive coach. But the idea of being mad at the opposition because they kicked a field goal for whatever their reasons are, they still got whacked. So why do they care? You didn't win 27-0. You won by 24. That wasn't good enough?
That's the division. I'm telling you. It's like
Bob's on this one like a dog on a bone.
Go cry. If you're going to cry about it, then make sure your defense doesn't let them get into field goal range.
They held them to 3 points.
Bunch of babies.
Wow.
I'm completely on the opposite one of that, Bob. I'm surprised that you're so outraged by that.
Am I categorized as in the middle?
I guess.
I do think that you huck it into the end zone.
But if they score a touchdown, it's
kind of lame to kick a field goal. But don't complain about it. Just, you know, use it as motivation later. So kind of on both your side. Hey, Nick Shook wrote, and, you know, I saw NFL Deep Threats, NFL.com. I'm like, okay, we're going to get screwed. And then I open it up. They have DK Metcalf, number one.
How about that?
Yeah. And then here's what I'll make a little case here. Jim's going to laugh at this one. You look at the other deep threats, Michael Gallup, Dallas Cowboys, number two. Calvin Ridley, Atlanta Falcons, number three. Number four is Henry Ruggs, haven't faced him. Number five, Justin Jefferson, Minnesota Vikings. So three of the top five are receivers that have the Seahawks have had to go against, but you could also make the case that they're there because they played the Seahawks. Am I right, Jim?
Well, wait a second. It's like which one, Gallup would be the only one, correct?
What do you mean?
That they've gone against the Seahawks this year.
No, Gallup is the Cowboys, but Calvin Ridley from the Falcons.
Oh, okay, yeah, Ridley's good, yeah.
And then Justin Jefferson, the rookie from Minnesota.
Could be.
They're good players, right?
Saying something, sure.
Yeah. How about this Chase Claypool guy? You're in Pittsburgh. What do you have, four touchdowns last week?
Four touchdown passes, 110 yards, eight catches.
Yeah, were they expecting this out of him?
Not like that, but you know, what you're looking at, because I know when the draft choice was made, I heard nothing but good things. And that's not just from Irish Mankey, because he went to Notre Dame, but because he like DK Metcalf is one of those big receivers. And I think you can see if you have a big receiver that has some speed and get downfield, he can do a lot of damage. And so that's exactly what Claypool is. And of course, I thought that he probably should have gone higher, but one of the reasons he didn't go as high, this was without, I think most people now consider this to be the best wide receiver draft maybe in NFL history, because you had, 25 guys, I think, taken in the first three rounds or something like that. And
Claypool was second round, right?
Yeah, but there was 25 guys that had grades third round or higher. And then you see the way they're coming out on the field. I mean, you know, the top three, and everybody, that you have different choices on that, but the top three were Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and Ruggs, and you can take the pick, and all of them look like they should be right up there where they were. Then you have Jefferson coming on. Mm-hmm. You have others that have come on. And, of course, now you got Claypool, and he was kind of the sleeper in the group, but he's awake right now.
Boy, John, sad news keeps coming for the Falcons here. I see that their ESPN NFL reporter who covered the Falcons, he died today at the age of 48.
Vaughn McClure.
So, good
friend.
Our condolences to him. He sounded like he's a really well-respected guy. And then there was another positive COVID test that closed the Falcons facility. I'm not sure about, does this put their game against Minnesota in jeopardy?
No, it's not that bad. It turned out to be a coach. It wasn't a player. I mean, they got a player earlier in the week, Marlon Davidson, who was a draft choice defensive tackle. So he went on the COVID list. But the league did not mandate that they close the facility because it was just one test and everybody else came out negative. And so it was the team, because they could, if they wanted to, they could have come back on the field at 2:30 today. But they said, no, just let's stay remote right now and let's not come into the office. And so they'll be going tomorrow. So unless there's another couple positive tests, and it was funny because I think Adam Schefter reported that there were four, and that turned out to be wrong because it just turned out to be one, and it was a coach. We don't know which coach, but it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad, and the game is all right now looking to go on.
Hey, John, I'm reading that Jadeveon Clowney missed Thursday's workout with a non-COVID illness, and he also was listed with a knee injury that kept him out Wednesday. So things not going great for him. What's the impression of him been there?
I don't think they're underwhelmed. I mean, again, he came out like he did here pretty strong once he got on the field in the first couple games, and then it's kind of slowed down a little bit. And, again, maybe that's the byproduct of not having a training camp because he didn't have a training camp last year. But I guess the concerning thing is that, because I know he was, I think, in the top six or seven for pressures in the first couple games. Again, not the sacks, but then he doesn't get sacks. So I think they're satisfied with him. At least they're satisfied enough that they trade Camilla Correa today, who is a linebacker that kind of got displaced by bringing in Vic Beasley and then bringing in Clowney. But, you know, say what you want. It's like they're 4-0.
John, I'm looking at the top passers. Russell Wilson tied for second with Deshaun Watson as far as yards per attempt. But, you know, I'm just going through and looking. And my eyes always go to the interception total. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, 13-0. And then the next closest one is Derek Carr. 11 touchdowns, only one interception this year. They got to be pretty happy with him in Las Vegas.
Today, John Gruden is, particularly coming off the win over Kansas City last week, and times he can be not happy, but I think so far in the five games, he's been more happy than unhappy. And
I'm guessing he's not cursing at him this year, John.
Well, not this week, because they're on a bye week. So,
oh. Okay.
So let's put it this way. He's not going to call him up on the phone and start cursing
him out. You can text him, maybe.
Yeah, maybe send a text or something like that. Maybe an email or send something out there. Just kind of send a curse word. But no, it's like he's off to a good start. And, you know, say what you want. I mean, yeah, they loaded up and got Byron Edwards. Looks like he's going to be a pretty good young receiver in the draft, and they were able to get Ruggs. But, you know, both those guys have had injuries, and he's been able to kind of fight around that and be able to get the yards and get the touchdowns and not throw the picks.
Okay, John, the Seahawks are 32nd and last in total defense, but they're going to get some help. They got Jamal Adams coming back. They've got Jordan Brooks. They should have a healthier Quentin Dunbar, and they'll have Snacks Harrison. Professor, do you think they can get up to 25th, 23rd, 20th, 18th? What's the ceiling with the personnel they have right now?
I think it can, you know, maybe more 25th or 24th. But, you know, you still look at the fact that they do have some games that can really help them out, particularly in the non-division games. Now, again, the division games are going to be tough. But, you know, other than, you know, facing, the Buffalo Bills, you know, they got four non-division games and they can do well. Now, I was looking at one of the stats this morning. You know, you look at the Rams defense being better than we all thought, because, again, other than their top three defensive players, you don't know the names of those guys. But then what you look at is that, okay, they caught Dallas and they kept them to, you know, in the teens as far as points. That was good. But then the other three teams that they beat in the NFC East for yardage, 30th, 31st, and 32nd. And those teams right now are the teams that Seattle gets to face the rest of the season. And then they also have games against the Washington Redskins and also the New York Giants. So there's five games there that they may not get beat up too bad with the stats.
That's the Washington football team.
Washington
John.
Football
Come on,
team.
Man.
I'm sorry. My bad. Sorry.
Hey, 509 wants to know, John, which player is more likely a long-term Seahawk, Griffin or Dunbar?
I'd say Griffin, because, you know, he's the homegrown. I think he means a lot in the locker room. I mean, he kind of gives you two players because, you know, his brother, Shaquem Griffin, I think will stay here probably as long as Shaq Griffin stays here. And it's kind of a two-for-one thing. And you got a cornerback who's been to the Pro Bowl. You got a linebacker who can run and maybe help rush the passer a little bit. So I just think it's, you know, in the locker room sense. And, again, Quentin still has to prove himself. I mean, he did some good things in the limited time that he's played, not actually made in the first game that he played, but he did some good things there. I'd say right now the odds favor Griffin.
I'm sorry. Did somebody ask about Penny?
No.
I don't want to. Rashad Penny, John.
Yeah.
Any news on him? And then expectations, like, how do you see him working in? Because we were talking earlier about DJ Dallas, you know, and, of course, we kind of forgot about Carlos Hyde. I haven't talked about him in a while. So how do you think he is going to end up working in?
I think he's going to go well. I mean, I can run down the street and say go ask him, because he's only like about eight houses.
All right,
away
well, don't me. Pull a hamstring yourself.
No.
Then you'll end up on the.
Well, I mean, if I do run the eight houses, it'll probably take me 10 minutes. Look how slow I am. But you know, I think that everything sounds like it's going pretty good. And I my guess would be they would slowly work him back, because, you know, this was an ACL injury. And I think they wanted him to get the confidence and all that stuff. So when they come out of the box, it'll be, you know, Chris Carson, obviously the starter. Carlos Hyde come out of the bye week and be the backup, because he's now had well, 3 weeks to recover from the shoulder. And, of course, I guess the one thing they're cautious on with the shoulder is that he came here with shoulder problems. And so I think that extra cautious. And, you know, you can see Pete Carroll and other coaches, you know, looking at bye weeks and saying, you know what, I'm not going to risk putting a guy out there when I have a bye week and buy him an extra week, particularly when, you know, right around the corner of the bye week, you have three out of four division games coming up. So I think they did it the smart way. And so, but you know, it looks like it'll be Carlos, and then Travis then will have to move back to be number four. And then DJ is, you know, have to unfortunately probably be inactive.
Hey, John, it was always fun when I used to watch the WWE, and they had a match, and I forget what they called it, when they'd have a bunch of guys in the ring, and then the last guy who was still in the ring was declared the winner, and everybody else would be getting thrown out over
Bull
the
in
top
the ring?
Rope. What is it?
Bull in the ring?
No.
We said that was a football thing.
Yeah, but it was something like that. But what I'm getting at is that if you put the Packers, Seahawks, and Rams into that ring, John, which is the last team you think would still be in the middle of the ring at the end of the night?
I think it would be the Seahawks because I think they can be feisty enough. Certainly, as great as it is for Aaron Rodgers and the great career that he's had, you know, Russell Wilson is past him right now. And, you know, for defense, I mean, well, I guess – The one guy in the ring that may top all three could be Aaron Donald.
I was going to say, you know, he would be the last guy left in there. He would, Aaron Donald would kick his own team and everybody other team out of there.
Yeah, good point. It's like, so it's like, you know, for the team standpoint, it would be it. But Aaron Donald, he's going to be the last guy out of the room. It's funny because I remember John Gruden saying this to me once. It's like, because, you know, Golden Tate was such a feisty player, you know, a guy that I compared to Hines Ward. And I know one time Gruden says, yeah, that Hines Ward, that Hines Ward, I want to see him out there in the room, and he goes fights, and the last man out, when he'll go against Anquan Boldin, and the last guy that comes out alive will be the winner. And I don't know who's going to win that one, but that's going to be a great battle between those two.
That's your John Gruden
That's my John Gruden.
Yeah, nice. I like it.
Hey, it's Royal Rumble.
Although I didn't swear. I didn't get in trouble by swearing.
That's true.
There you go. That's a good one. Hey, quickly, John, seeing rumors that Matt Ryan could end up in San Francisco. Are they? We talked about Ryan and the lack of commitment from Arthur Blank, not calling him the Falcon for life. Are they bailing on Jimmy Garoppolo out there, or what's the feeling?
No, I think it's an overreaction. I mean, it's like, it's one of those things where people are kind of jumping on a bad. It was like, it's kind of like, oh yeah, Seattle's going to get Antonio Brown, and they're going to. It's like, no, because first off, think about the idea. You got $27.5 million quarterback in Garoppolo, right? And you got cap issues, and next year, if you make a deal like that for Matt Ryan, how are you going to clear the cap at $175 million when your left tackle Trent Williams is up, your top four cornerbacks are up, you've got you already know you're going to have to let Dee Ford go, Kwame Alexander go, two offensive linemen go, and then you don't have Kyle Juszczyk signed, and you they've got about 20 free agents. I can't see him doing it because they're going to have to lose more talent than gain. And if you're going to have two quarterbacks making that kind of money, it just doesn't work.
John, good stuff. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com.